Well, good evening, everybody. I'm always amazed how high the lectern is because it's based on people's height. So I think somebody saw me coming and put it at the lowest setting. But in all seriousness, before we start, I do probably need to read out the following statement. Some material in this talk may be inappropriate for some people with a nervous disposition. Therefore, I urge us all to proceed with caution. No, I'm not talking about my Christmas jumper. However, it is linked to my jumper ever so slightly because we are going to be talking about the word Christmas. And obviously, sometimes it might be a little bit too soon. You might have had your Christmas decorations up already. You might be waiting for another week or so. In the Ferguson household, they went up yesterday. So when I mention the word Christmas, I wonder what comes to mind. What sort of images you think of, whether that's... And what is the first thing you would do when somebody mentions Christmas on the 1st of December? When is that moment where you go, ooh, I feel a little Christmassy? So maybe just have a second to think of when you probably go, ooh, I feel a little bit Christmassy. Perhaps mention it to the person next year, and I'm going to quickly grab a glass of water. And shall we bring this back into God's word? So I don't know about you, but I reckon this is a question where if you were to ask yourself every year, you might give a slightly different response. And when I was thinking about this question slightly, I was thinking of when I was really young, probably from 0 to about 10, probably slightly older than 0. I would sit in my granny's house, and we used to get the Argos catalogue out. And we used to circle anything we wanted for Christmas to help Granny decide what she was going to get us for Christmas. That is the moment between 0 to 10, I probably would have gone, ooh, I feel a little Christmassy. Then slightly older, as a teenager, this probably changed slightly. Now, Hannah's here, and Hannah doesn't know I'm about to say this, so this is going to go down well. But to try and impress my future wife, I would volunteer at my in-laws, or now in-laws, farm. And would help them pluck turkeys. So, fellas, if you are here and you want to woo a lady, may I suggest that turkey plucking is a skill that you may want to develop. So what about you? What did you think of when you thought, ooh, I feel a little bit Christmassy? Maybe it was presents, maybe it was Santa, maybe it was Christmas parties, maybe it was family, maybe it was Mariah Carey or Michael Bublé, I don't know. But in reflecting this question, and perhaps my response to this question, something did come to mind, which is these two examples don't mention anything to do with Jesus, don't mention carols, and don't really mention the Bible. So it got me thinking, is this the wrong way to celebrate Christmas? As a Christian, is there a way of better celebrating Christmas? Well, tonight we're going to look at just a quick overview, don't worry, Kim, a quick overview of the six feasts which are in Leviticus. And we're going to see, as Christians, what we can learn from it of how the Israelite nation would have celebrated these things. So to give you a running order, we start with Passover, the Festival of the First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And while we go through this whistle-stop tour, we're going to pick points of how Jesus might have fulfilled these festivals already, but also how we could better celebrate them as Christians. So what is a festival? What is a feast? Well, the Bible says that a feast is a divine appointment by which the Lord calls his people to him. So these feasts are split into two. Three of them are part of the spring calendar, and the other three are part of the autumn calendar. So starting with the three which are in spring. First one, Passover. Most of you will know what Passover is. It's a celebration of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and when the Lord sent the angel of death upon the Egyptians and the Israelites were spared from this judgment. Why? By putting the lamb's blood, which they had sacrificed for the Lord, over their doorposts and their lintels. We can read that in Exodus 12. And as Christians, we often look at this Passover celebration, which the Jewish nation and the Israelites will have celebrated with Moses, and ultimately how it was overshadowed, foreshadowing by the ultimate Passover, which we celebrate as Christians, as Jesus is our Passover lamb, that by his blood we are saved. And in some ways, as when we celebrate our communion service, it is a reenactment of that Passover meal where we look to Jesus as our Passover lamb. The second feast in spring is called the Festival or the Feast of First Fruits. So this would be in springtime when the harvest had come. The Israelites, the Jewish nation, would bring their first offering, their first crop to the temple and offer it to God. Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15 to 23, is also referred to as the first fruits. I'll read it in context. So 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death entered into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ is given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Jesus was raised as the first fruit of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ when he comes back. You see, Jesus in this imagery is presented as the sheaf of the first fruits, which you can read in Leviticus 23, verse 10. In between the readings which we had, presented before God, the mighty one of the harvest, the first fruit, the wave offering, which you can read there. But there's also a second part to this festival, which is you can read in verse 12 if you're looking at Leviticus 23, which is the Israelites would also sacrifice a lamb a year old without blemish. Again, pointing to Jesus being that pure, spotless lamb, that Passover lamb who died for us. So the third festival, the third of the spring festivals, known as the Festival of Weeks, but has been taken over by Christians as Pentecost, because it comes 50 days after Passover. And this is where God required all the firstborns, so the first, normally the boy, but the firstborn of his people to appear before him. So this would involve a sort of pilgrimage of the eldest child making his way to Jerusalem, making his way to the temple, to be before the Holy One. And there were a number of offerings which they would have to offer. So let me read a few of them out. So from Leviticus 23, starting at verse 17. So they would bring two loaves made by the finest flour and baked with yeast. They'd then present them before the Lord with seven male lambs, then a young bull, then a grain offering, a drinks offering, a food offering, which would create an aroma which was pleasing to the Lord. Then a male goat, then two more lambs, and then all this would be waved by the priest as a wave offering to God. So there's a lot to this. There's a lot. It was about giving God the very best which the Israelite nation could give. And if you turn to Acts, where Christians celebrate the story of Pentecost in Acts, if you turn to Acts, you see that God, in fact, gives us his very best. You see, by Jesus coming to this world, but through his resurrection, and then ultimately his ascension, at the event of Pentecost, we see God giving his Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us, his very best, to live out our lives day to day, to serve him. You see, it's a little bit like the Holy Spirit coming from heaven, coming from God, and going on a pilgrimage with each and every one of us. So that's the first three. And in each of those three, we see something really clear, which is illustrating the truth and the fulfillment of our salvation through the Messiah, through Jesus, through what God has already done for us. In verse 2, as read by Kim, it says, "These are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. You see, these festivals are all about what God has done for us. They're special events where we look back and we remember what God has done for us. It's not because of what we've done, but it's because of what God has done. Remember, I read out that statement of what a festival is, and it says, these are divine appointments by which God, the Lord, calls his people to meet with him. And I'm going to add a second bit, okay, which is this. And from experience and evidence, which we can read in our Bibles, which we've just gone through now, we can see that when God calls you, when God calls his people, he can certainly show up. And through obedience, often we can receive blessing. You see, at Christmas time, we will celebrate what God's done for us. And we might feel like we're getting closer to God by the things and the events and the family and everything which comes with it. And that might be a blessing for us going into the next year. So that's the first three. Second three, very, very quickly, whistle stop tour. The Festival of Trumpets. So this often begins, if you look at the calendar, in the autumn. And during the Festival of Trumpets, a ram's horn would be blown. Okay, and this would be called a shofar. And this horn had to be made out of a ram's horn. And the reason for this was it was a reminder of the story of Abraham and Isaac. It was looking back of how Abraham felt that God had told him to sacrifice his son. And just before he sacrificed Isaac to God, God provided a lamb in the thistles and told Abraham, no, this is the sacrificial lamb which I'm putting in Isaac's place. Again, it points a little bit to Jesus, but it also reminds us that of God's merciful nature that is to come, that one day we'll spend eternity with him. The second awesome festival is called the Festival of Atonement. And on this day, the Jewish people were called to spend 25 hours of intense fasting and prayer, often spending most of the time in the synagogue or in the temple. And they did this as almost a reset button, a reminder that what God had done for them from Egypt, from saving them from sins through their law and the sacrifices which they would give to him. It was about being in God's book of salvation. And one day, as Christians, obviously, this is something which is to come. Again, it's about us spending eternity with him. And through Jesus, it's not about every year having to spend this time, this Day of Atonement, refocusing, refreshing ourselves, but it's about every day reminding ourselves of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And then the final holy event, which we read about in Leviticus 23, is the Feast of Tabernacles, and this one's my favourite, because I imagine if I was an Israelite, this is the one which I'd get the most enjoyment out of. You see, to remind the Israel nation of their time in the wilderness, they were asked to build these booths, these like tent-like structures. And they would spend 7 days living in these booths. And we can read it, Nehemiah, about the Israelite nations building it on their roofs of their properties or around their properties. And I can imagine it, can't you? Children running around going, oh, have you built your booth yet? What's yours like? Oh, ours is this big. Ours has got this in it. Do you know what? If it was in modern day, you might go, oh, ours has a balcony. Yours has a Wii remote we can play in an evening. But actually, there was a big purpose behind this, and that was to remind the Israelite nations of God's provision during that wilderness time. And I think as Christians, as we look at this festival, which is in Leviticus, it reminds us of sometimes we may feel like we're in the wilderness. Like sometimes we may feel like we're not as close to God, or where is God in this situation? And actually, during times like Christmas, Easter, and stuff like that, often it's a difficult time because we go, where's God right now? But actually, it's a reminder of what God's already done for us and what he will do for us in the future. So that's our whistle-stop tour on the festivals. I hope you've kept up with me ever so slightly. So what is our takeaway? What can we really apply these festivals in our day-to-day life? So rule number one, these festivals have a fun aspect, or some of them do, but also a serious one too. You see, imagine the boys making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple. They would have been, again, if it had been modern day, they would have been chatting about what they do at home, what they've been up to, what holidays they've been on, as well as making that physical pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You see, they would have all known on that journey why they were going to Jerusalem, that it was all about spending time with God. But there was extra bits to it. There was friendship, there was fellowship, they would have seen each other year in, year out, and be talking to one another about what they're up to. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, as I've just touched on, that whole idea of building a booth, I'm sure people had fun while doing it, spending time with one another. So as we go into Christmas, I think there is definitely an aspect of God brings joy. And in that joy, we can have Christmas parties. We can have fun with one another. We can eat as much turkey as you can possibly imagine. But also there's that serious aspect of remembering what Christmas is all about, the love that God has for each and every one of us by sending his son Jesus to this world. Number two, these were public demonstrations. You're not telling me that neighbouring nations would be looking at the Israelite nation as they're building booths and spending a week in there going, what on earth are they doing? What are they remembering? Oh, it's about them leaving the wilderness and coming to the promised land. And as we celebrate Christmas, we will probably all have non-Christian friends, people who perhaps don't know who God is or who Jesus was and what Jesus has done for them. But actually, maybe in this Christmas season, this might be the opportunity where they look at us celebrating with pure joy, the joy that God has given us, and go, there's something special about them. There's something different about them. I want to know more. And maybe God is putting somebody on your heart who you want to pray for. Kim has mentioned previously about the three-person cards, which I think might be available somewhere at the back of church. Or if you want to do your own, you can do your own. And just listing three names of people you want to pray for during this Advent season, that they may come to Christ. In Matthew 5, it says, you are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand to give everyone light. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's an encouragement, but also a challenge, isn't it? Graham Hendrick wrote a song about this passage, which says, go do something beautiful. That's celebrating what God has done for us. It says, in the name of Jesus, remembering who has given us this joy, do something beautiful. Go do something Jesus would. That's living out these festivals, living out what and telling people what God has done for him, but also having fun, having that joy. Do something beautiful. And then finally, number three, they were opportunities for the Israelite nation to grow in their faith, grow in their understanding of who God is. So I mentioned this phrase before, and I'll mention it again, but this time I'm going to change it ever so slightly as we go into this festive Advent season. Christmas is a divine appointment by which God, the Lord, calls his people to meet with him. And from experience, from examples which we've read, when God calls you, you can be certain that he'll show up and bring a blessing to those who come with obedience, but also the joy of knowing what God has done for them. Thank you.